the Holy Spirit. You have to know him and you have to know how to work with him. So the first thing, if you want to know how to work with the Holy Spirit, well, first of all, let me ask you this. When you gave your life to Jesus, by whose ministry were you born again? Holy Spirit, right? You were regenerated, you were made new, created new by the Spirit of God. Okay? When you were healed in Jesus' name, who healed you? Yes, Jesus healed you, but by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Okay? When you feel led to go somewhere, who's speaking into your heart? Holy Spirit is speaking into your heart. When you're driving and the Holy Spirit tells you, slow down or turn left or right, who saved you from that accident? Holy Spirit did. You see, so the Holy Spirit is very important in our ministry today. And so this is why it's important. If we want to talk about the supernatural, as I've been talking about the supernatural for a while, you have to know the Holy Spirit. You have to know how to work with him. And so the first point of how to work with the Holy Spirit that I want to bring across to us is simply this. We have to ask ourselves, who is in charge? Amen. Turn to your neighbor and ask them, who's in charge? I want you to notice something, that when the church, when the early church at Antioch, when they were deciding what to do, they fasted, they prayed, they ministered to the Lord to wait for the Holy Spirit to speak and give them instructions. There was no committees, there was no debates, there was no discussions, there was one leader. When the Holy Spirit spoke, they knew they were listening to the leader. Who's in charge? Who's in charge of my life? If we want to work with the Holy Spirit, we have to settle that question forever. From the beginning, we have to settle the question. Who is in charge of my life? Who's in charge of our ministry? Who's in charge of this church? Who's in charge of the cell groups? Who's in charge of your cell group? Your family? Who is in charge of your marriage? Is it me? Is it the Holy Spirit? Very clearly we see from the very first reading here, from verse 1 and on, we find that the early church recognized who was in charge. This is why the early church was so successful in the ministry, because they acknowledged the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The church has begun to lose its anchor. It's drifted over the last 21st centuries. The church has lost its way. Because when the church wants to know something, the church has to have meeting after meeting after meeting just to know what paint to paint the church. Just to know what to do in the next few days. The church even began, you know, has begun worldwide to accept homosexual pastors. Did you know that? This was made up by the decision of a panel or a committee of men and women. The church has begun to shift away from the very biblical foundations on which it was founded. And it starts from our homes, doesn't it? It starts from our marriages. It starts from me and you. We need to ask ourselves, who's making the decisions in our lives? Who's determining our future, our plans? Who makes up our mind to do certain things? Is it me or is it the Holy Spirit? And this is the secret of the early church. They knew exactly who was in charge. And the Holy Spirit was pleased to speak. You find it out from the scripture. It says in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said. You see, the Holy Spirit wants to speak, but he speaks from a leadership position. Never from a servant position. He is in control. We are his servants. He is our master. And so when we make him Lord of our lives, he is pleased to speak into our lives. So if you want to hear the voice of the Spirit in your life, in your ministry, your family, you have to surrender to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Let him speak into your life. Let him guide you into the place Because you and I have a map. You know, there's a difference between a map and a living guide. The Old Testament, the law was like a map, where the children of Israel only followed the map. But for us in the New Testament, we don't just have a map. We have a guide who actually takes us by the hand and leads us through life itself. If I'm walking into a swampy area and there's a lot of pitfalls and there's a lot of problems, I'd rather not look at the map. I want to, you know, take a hand of somebody who is able to walk me safely through the dangerous places. And this world is full of danger. This life is full of danger. And the map will not do for us. I know we can read the Bible. I know we can say, I know the way. We can make a decision. But I can tell you something. There is a way that is very dangerous. And the maps won't work in many cases. Thank God for the Word of God. And we need the Word of God. But we should never discount the presence and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We need Him to take us by the hand and lead us through life. There are some business decisions that we make that is wrong. There are some family decisions that we make that are actually wrong. And we need to start asking Him, Holy Spirit, take me by the hand and lead me in the right way. That when I feel a check in my heart, when I feel something is wrong, I can stop and start to pray. Help me, O God, to hear from You rather than hearing from my own flesh. Because the guide of life is able to take us and lead us in the safe places. So we need to be realistic about what we are doing as Christians. We need to come back to the Bible and to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I've had to do those things, I've had to do those marriages, but my heart breaks in a sense. Why? Because the Holy Spirit did not take them by the hand. And in those marriages itself, there's a lot of heartbreak. There's a lot of brokenness because they did not listen first to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So if we want to work with the Holy Spirit, we have to ask ourselves first, who is in charge of this family? Who's in charge of my life? Who's in charge of this church? For cell leaders, elders, trustees, we must always seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Because that's the key to success in ministry. In working with the Holy Spirit, we need to put Him in that rightful place, in charge. The second thing that we see about the early church in working with the Spirit of God, in verse 2, has they ministered to the Lord and fasted. I know we've been talking about it a lot, but if you really are serious about a growing Christian life, you have to come to the place of ministry to the Lord. Apart from fasting, let me talk about ministry to the Lord. Ministry to the Lord simply means giving Him time, you know, giving Him time, focusing on Him, giving Him time to cement His place in your life, giving Him time to be the focus of your life, praying, worship, singing, you know, spending time in His presence, you know, fellowshipping with Him. That's called ministry to the Lord, waiting on Him. And you know something about the early church? They didn't really believe in 5 minutes of ministry to the Lord. 10 minutes, half an hour. The early church, if you see the Jerusalem church, after Jesus rose from the dead and He ascended to heaven, they actually spent 10 days ministering to the Lord before the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost. That's ministry to the Lord, amen? It means giving Him time. You know, it means sort of giving Him unhurried free time in our lives. I'm not saying your quiet time, you know. Quiet time is very important. And yes, if we can include it in the quiet time, all the better. But a lot of us are working. And sometimes you kind of have only 40 minutes, half an hour, 1 hour per day in order to have a quiet time, a devotional time in the morning. I'm not so much centering on that. Although if you can have a longer quiet time, all the better. You can include some ministry to the Lord kind of time. What I'm saying is, if you can include a ministry time during the quiet time, all the better. But if not, my encouragement to us is, you can even set aside specific times or specific days during the week for for ministry to the Lord. I'm telling you this because I'm not just speaking out of my head. I'm speaking out of years of experience. You need to allow a space in your heart so that the Holy Spirit can flow very easily, and it comes through ministry to the Lord. Quiet time is one thing which is important. Thank God for quiet time, and I do spend my quiet time. But the times of ministry to the Lord. Some people do it best when they go out fishing. They sit by the boat, and they just fish, but they're praying and they're worshiping. Some people do it best when they go hiking, running. 3 hours of running, and you're just praying. Some people do it best when they go by the seaside, or they go somewhere. Some people do it best at home. When I was working for the bank many years ago, and so what happened was I used to just have 1 hour, 1.5 hours to pray as a quiet time. And I used to struggle because I knew in my heart there was something missing. And this is an area that was really missing in my life. I used to pray, I used to read the Bible. But it was always like this time, you know, like you start 5:30, finish 6:30, get ready, 7, 7:15, off to the bus, off to work. You know, so you got this set time, you know, you got to wake up, you got to do this. And so I realized that what I got to do is set aside a quality time. And because as a pastor and a working person, I didn't have time during the week because we had cell groups to run, we had other, you know, families to visit. So I found out something. Every Saturday, because we had in the banks, we had Sundays off, I used to take Saturdays. I used to sleep in, sorry to say, but I used to sleep in because Friday nights was normally prayer nights. We used to pray late. Auntie Val remembers, we used to pray quite late. And so Saturday mornings, I used to sleep in till about 9 o'clock. 8:30, almost 9. Just force myself to sleep. Sometimes I want to get up, I force my eyes closed to sleep well. When I got up from 8:45, 9 o'clock, I used to just go into this other room, close the door, and who knows, for 3 hours, I would just sit in the presence of God, walk, lie down flat, worship, read my Bible, 3 hours. Sometimes I run out of words to say. Sometimes I just run out of songs to sing. I run out of, you know, I just finish reading and then what else am I going to read? You know, how else am I going to sing? But I can tell you something. Those 3 hours every Saturday saved my ministry, our ministry. Because it allowed God to speak into my life. Just doing nothing but giving Him time. I'm not forcing everybody like, oh, you got to go off fishing, you got to go off to this time, you got to shut the door. But I hope you get what I'm trying to say. All of us are spiritual, supernatural beings, and there is a need to create a space in your hearts that the Holy Spirit can dwell and minister freely without being rushed for time. You know, when we are praying quickly and praying quickly and praying quickly, it's like a message that we send the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're not important. Holy Spirit, I have to rush here because my boss is more important. I'm not saying that you go late to work. What I'm saying is there's some adjustments that we need to make in our lives. If you really want the Holy Spirit to be part of your life and flowing, you need to give Him ministry time. Now that we're full-time ministry, I have all the time in the world. I thank God for full-time ministry. Thank you for paying our salary. Amen, everyone. Amen. Thank you for giving me time so that I can wait on the Lord at home. I can tell you something. If you have, you know, if you have weekends, at least on a Sunday afternoon, you know, if you don't come to the prayer meeting, I hope you come, but if you don't come, at least block off some time. Just sit in His presence, you know. Most of you who are housewives, you got time on your hands, you can do that. When your children go off to school, clean the house, everything, block off 2 hours. Just wait on God's presence. You know, part of your mind will tell you, this is wasted time. You are wasting your time. You should be doing something else, visiting someone, doing some spiritual work. Let me tell you, this is spiritual work. This is powerful work. You might think, you know, this is a waste of time. Let me tell you, it is not wasted time. It is not wasted time. Thank God for those times of ministry to the Spirit. Let's go quickly. The third thing that we see is in order to work with the Spirit, they fasted. Let me go quickly through this. Fasted. We talk a lot about fasting, but let me just give you a slight angle on this fasting thing. Let me show you something here. Verse 2, they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Okay? Now notice something. They ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Spirit spoke. Now the Holy Spirit spoke, they fasted, right? But notice something else in the next verse, verse 3. Having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. In other words, when the Holy Spirit said, I choose Paul and Barnabas for the work of mission, okay, they heard from the Lord to appoint Paul and Barnabas. And once they appointed them, they didn't just call Paul and Barnabas in front of the church like Pastor Connor normally does and just pray for them with the elders. As I was preparing this message, it fell, you know, it came very clearly to me, something I'm doing wrong. They didn't just call Paul and Barnabas, lay hands on them, send them out. What did they do? They fasted. They had already fasted, okay? They fasted already. And they, you know, they got the appointment of Paul and Barnabas, but when they heard about Paul and Barnabas, they fasted again. Wow. Again they fasted. Then they called them and they laid hands on them and sent them. I never did that. Of course, we fast during the week. But this wasn't really a part of our thing. We just felt led to appoint someone. When they come, we pray for them and bless you. I realize now, fasting is an important part of working with the Holy Spirit. If you want to see the supernatural flowing on the people we pray for, in their ministry, we have to fast before we lay hands on them to release them into the supernatural power of God. So today we're supposed to pray for Ravi and Laa today to be released into the Mawaka cell leadership. I haven't told them this, but I feel we've got to wait. Because this week is the week of fasting. Amen, everyone. Coming Sunday, then they get hands laid on them. You know why? It's better for them to be prayed after the church has fasted. Then Mawaka will grow. Then Mawaka will see miracles. No wonder we don't see miracles in our cell groups. Maybe your cell leaders need to be re-prayed again next week. Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone. I know our cell groups, some of them are moving and seeing, but we need to do it the biblical way, amen? So next week we'll pray for Ravi and Laa, but I think we pray again for the rest of the cell leaders. I know they've been doing a great work, miracles happening, but I think there can be more, amen? Amen, everyone. Fasting. Working with the Spirit of God. Number four, very quick. Number four. I want you to notice something that they chose in verse 2. Now separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas and Saul. Why Barnabas and Saul? I hope I don't upset anyone. But, you know, the Spirit of God, He is here to do the work of Jesus. The Spirit of God wants to expand the kingdom of God. Jesus himself said the harvest is ripe, it's ready, but the laborers are so few. But when the Holy Spirit had to choose someone, he chose Paul and Barnabas. I'm praying about this, and it came strongly to me. The reason why is because Paul and Barnabas were not babies in the Lord. They were not babies, novice. In fact, Paul, when he writes to Timothy, he told Timothy, do not choose novices. Do not choose babies in leadership. Hello. Hello, everyone. It does not mean that babies can't serve in some way. Newborn Christians, if you've just given your heart to Christ, that you can't serve God somewhere. You can serve God somewhere. I encourage you to serve God somewhere in church or in the ministry. But If you really want to work with the Holy Spirit, you need to show the Holy Spirit that you are willing to grow from a baby stage. You cannot be 3 years, 5 years in the Lord and you're still a baby. Because the ministry of the Holy Spirit wants to move and touch people's lives, but we babies are holding it back. And what I said, I'm sorry if I hurt you. And so we need to grow so that the Holy Spirit can put his finger on us and say, you're the one, go. But he does not choose babies to do a significant work. Because that's the command of Paul to Timothy. Don't choose babies to do any significant work. I put it this way. When a person first comes to Christ, they are a baby. After 1 year in the Lord, babyhood should start to stop. It is not like your natural baby. Spiritual things are different. It accelerates very quick. And so a baby who comes to the Lord, a person who gives his heart to the Lord, is a spiritual baby. But after the first year, they should move from milk to meat. By the second year, they should be eating meat. What I mean to say is they should be eating solid food of the Word of God. There's no more baby. You know, you sit down, you learn, you eat intensely the milk of God's Word. You know, you don't have to take cell leadership, don't have to do anything. No. I mean, you're a baby. But to me, I believe, and from years of experience, by the time you hit 12 months, you should be switching to solid meat. Solid meat, the Bible actually says, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Meaning like babies have begun to grow themselves. They began to start, being used in some form of ministry. So they switch to meat. By the third year, they should be training for leadership. I got a shock, maybe last year, the year before, a guy came in from the U.S. and he was sharing with us. He said, you know, I'm still a baby. I've been only 3 years in the Lord. We're in a church in New York. When he left, I told me, I said, boy, something is wrong. You know, something is wrong. 3 years serving Jesus and he's still a baby. Something is wrong. I said, you are hindering the work of the Lord. You need to grow. Amen? That means you volunteer, you serve something, you start to grow yourself. Step out as the Holy Spirit leads you. Well, your muscles need to work. You need to walk, and then you need to start serving somewhere. So that God can start to choose you. God can start to use you. And you start to grow up. And so when you start to grow, God can start to expand the work. If there's too many babies in the house, then those who are mature have to spend all their time bottle feeding the babies. Wow, Pastor, you're very hard on us today. But if you can grab hold of what I'm saying, you will see God do great things through your life. You can tell the Lord, Lord, I'm going to start. I'm going to grow. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to step out. Why? Because God wants to use us, amen? But it starts with the small things. Last thing. When it came to Paul, notice that there was a witch doctor called Elymas in verse 8. Elymas came to the Roman proconsul, who was the Roman leader, and he tried to steer him away from the faith. He tried to, to blind him from the truth. When Paul saw him trying to blind this Roman leader from the truth, Paul rebuked him boldly. He rebuked him and he said, you will be blind for a season. Immediately, the hand of the Lord came upon the witch doctor and he was blinded. And the Roman leader saw the miracle and he believed. Now, when you look at this issue, the last point is, we must be willing to step out regardless of who we are, of our circumstance. Because when you look at Paul's life, the word Paul, he was actually called Saul, but they called him Paul later. The name Paul actually means little or small. In the Greek, Paul actually means little or small. And if you read in some of the scriptures, I'll just give you a couple of scriptures. 2 Corinthians 10:10, the Bible says, Paul calls himself, though I am weak in body and contemptible in speech, meaning Paul was a person who was maybe weak in body, Bible scholars believe he was a small man. And Paul himself said, I can't speak properly, meaning he wasn't a good preacher. He says, though I was weak in body and I couldn't speak properly, you treated me like an angel. So Paul was a small man. He was poor, he was small, he couldn't speak properly, but he was a man greatly used by the Holy Spirit. In the conference that we went to in Wellington, there was a man who stood up to preach. His name was Pastor Paul DeYoung. And he said this, and he said, when I grew up, I had a lot of things against me. He said, when I was born and I was still a small baby growing up, there was something wrong with my throat. And he said, every time, so he said the doctors had to do an operation on my throat. He said, even after it healed, whenever I drink something hot, the hot liquid would come down my throat, outside my throat. He said, but the benefit with that is that I can drink the same cup of coffee twice. He said, I grew up with this thing, He said, I had lots of issues, and then he took a pen. He said, give me a pen, somebody. And then somebody gave him a pen, two pens, and he held it at his ears like this. And he said, can you see? Then he looked at the big screen. He said, can you see? When he looked at the pens, one pen was up and another pen was right down. His ears were different sizes. He said, I grew up with problems with my throat. My ears was different sizes. He said, I had lots of problems growing up. My friends used to make fun of me. He said, even now when I became a pastor, I started getting bold. He said, but God still used me. Today he is one of the largest churches in New Zealand. What I'm saying is, to me, personally, it doesn't really matter whether you are, struggling with some health issue, whether you have your ears too big and one is really small, whether coffee comes out of your throat, whether, whether you cross-eyed or you, whatever it is. To me, it doesn't matter in Christ. To me, the Holy Spirit is just looking for somebody who's available. To work with the Holy Spirit, we just have to open our hearts and allow Him to use us. Amen. Paul was small, he couldn't speak properly, and yet God used him to touch the Gentile world for Jesus. God can use you, but you must be willing to step out. Somebody asked Yongi Cho, Pastor Cho, what's your secret? You have the largest church in the world. What kind of gifts has the Lord given you? He said, I've got only one gift. I have the gift of boldness. I have the gift of boldness. Whatever the Lord shows me, I do it. Some of you can't maybe speak clearly or speak eloquently or speak like T.D. Jakes or something. It doesn't matter. Some of you struggle with health issues. It doesn't matter. The issue is, are you available to be used by the Holy Spirit? That's the issue. And I believe God is moving in these last days. There's a supernatural flow of the Holy Spirit. Some things I said might have been a bit hard on us, but I love you guys. Amen? I want to see you guys stand up and being used by the Lord. But the Holy Spirit has certain things that He works with. If you deal with those issues, you will see your life go on to another level. You'll see your life begin to change. God wants to use us. But we may, you know, we must be willing to move. So let's pray. Let's just take this time and pray.